It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. On this first day of spring, we're going to go creek walking with Jacqueline Briggs Martin and Claudia McGeehee. They are the author and illustrator of the new children's book, Creek Finding, A True Story. But first, we're going to find out about some innovative ways to promote live music in Iowa. My first guest is music producer Sean Moeller. He is best known as the founder of Daytrotter, a music studio and website and phenomenon in the world of indie music. He left Daytrotter in August, and he's gotten a lot of done since then. We asked him to come back and talk about his most recent projects. He is on the line with us now. Hello, Sean.
Hello. How's it going?
Good. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I think that last time we talked back in August, you were pretty vague about what you were going to be doing in the future at that point. And
yeah.
I think a lot of people were worried that you would leave the Iowa music scene behind. That is not the case at all. So
yeah.
what is your focus right now? What are big picture? What are you trying to do?
Essentially, I'm trying to make Iowa the best place for touring artists to ever come to. I think I'm kind of tripling down on Iowa, tripling down on, my home state, and trying to make this a real haven for live music.
Well, like I said, you've gotten a lot done since August. Let's talk about some of the stuff you've been up to. Let's talk about
Sure.
the Gas Feed and Seed Festival, which just happened last month, a music festival mm-hmm. in February in Iowa, which is an idea that may sound a little surprising,
scary.
I guess.
Scary, yeah.
Yeah.
it was great. It went great. Everybody responded well to it. The structure of it was, trying to create a real like communal sort of environment for artists and concert goers. So we started it off with a family style dinner where the artists and ticket holders could dine together. It was all kind of like a Mana Colonies long table style dining and it really set the tone for kind of how the weekend was going to go. And we got really lucky with the weather, and it was just a really kind of sunshiny weekend, and everybody kind of left, went back to their workplaces on Monday feeling really great about, how they spent their weekend. And, that was really kind of the intention of it. It was really trying to bridge the gap between, what people kind of think is leisure activities. I kind of see them as necessary components to sanity and to happiness. I see putting on music events, putting on shows as not necessarily like my business, the way I make my living, but as providing, something that you actually need in your life. I think we get very quickly bogged down with, life with taking care of the kids and going to games and getting work done. And I think we tend to forget about, very simple things, hearing music and hearing words and letting yourself kind of breathe a little, and I see putting on shows as a service to help you do better at work the next day, because maybe you're thinking differently and maybe you're inspired, and I think the more I can kind of get people to sacrifice a few hours of their day, they're gonna feel rewarded.
Intimacy seems to be a really important part of what you're trying to do. I mean, the idea of having a big family meal where the audience
yeah.
sits down with the artists as opposed to just seeing them on stage. Why is that intimacy so important to you?
I mean, I think it's, for me, I've always tended, and I think a lot of people do, if you meet someone, if you know someone a little bit more intimately than just that's a person on a stage, it's the one thing that was the biggest takeaway from my 10 years doing Daytrotter was, what do I love about this? And it's the people. It's getting to know these people and not just having them be drifting through and passing by, but actually kind of staying in their lives and you staying in theirs. And it's the one thing that I've been trying to do over the years too, is really like groom artists here in the Quad Cities, and make it so that they feel like they have a place where people care and where people are going to come out and see them, and they aren't scared to death, that they're going to go into a city and nobody's going to show up. And You know, so I think it goes both ways. You know, it's a community for me as far as, you know, getting people here in the Quad Cities and people in Iowa and Illinois to, you know, kind of gravitate to these things I'm doing. But it's also a community for these artists who, you know, are you know, it gets lonely on the road and it gets really hard on the road. And, you know, when you're doing something out of love, which is essentially what everyone who makes music does, you know, you kind of want to be met halfway. And I think when you do find those pockets and those communities where people kind of embrace you, it goes a long ways. And, you know, you start changing the dynamic a little bit where everyone's just people. And, you know, if you treat them well, they're going to keep coming back and they're going to keep treating you well. And those are the kind of relationships I've sort of been building over the years are, you know, people that believe in what we're doing, you know, believe in what I'm doing and believe in what I'm building, and they want to be a part of it.
When you're booking an artist, of course, they're excited to get the gig, I'm sure, in most cases. But in asking them to also give the audience more access, to give a little more time, to give more energy, to, you know, talk to people face-to-face in a way that they wouldn't normally at a gig. Do you have any artists who are like, I don't think I can give that much?
Not really. I mean, it's I think they're rewarded too. You know, I mean, I think, you know, it's so much better than just going through the motions. I mean, you do have a show where nobody shows up or everybody's talking and chatting and not paying attention. I mean, it's really easy to check out. And, you know, and then I think they, you know, get back into their van that night and travel down the road with, you know, just kind of a real dark feeling in themselves. You know, it's like, is this what we're really doing? You know, is this why we're doing this? And you can feel really dejected. And so I think, you know, that interaction and that extra like touch and that extra like closeness, it's really what they're seeking, right? I mean, you write words, you write music, and you wanna move people, and you wanna have them feel things. And so, I mean, you know, what better way to kind of do that than to kind of give a little more of yourself? You know, maybe just a little piece more that you wouldn't someone else. You know.
So the Gas, Feed, and Seed Festival was a big success. You're planning another one for November, but you've got a lot going on between now and then as well. Tell me about Molar Nights. What are you doing with this idea?
You know, that's essentially just kind of, it's the encapsulation of this whole thought process. So, I mean, I'd like to think that if I put my name, you know, a Molar Nights name on something, that it means something, that you should pay maybe extra attention. That maybe you should make the extra effort to see it and come witness it, even if it's just for part of it. So it's really just kind of an extenuation, you know, through the year, you know, through the upcoming months of doing shows that matter, you know, that people should pay attention to.
All right. Well, I know you've got a very full schedule for these shows. You've got Whitney Rose playing in Davenport tomorrow at Baked. Yep. Let's listen to a little bit of Whitney Rose.
Sure.
Whitney Rose, Little Piece of You, off of the album Heartbreaker of the Year. She'll be performing in Davenport tomorrow as one of these Molar Nights events, and she'll be at Baked. And so she's a Canadian artist who sings country western music. Where are you looking for the artists that you're bringing into these performances? What kinds of artists are you looking for?
I just, you know, again, I look for anything that I think is, you know, deserves a little bit more spotlight. You know, I look for people that, you know, I mean, it's very simple. I kind of look for people that I'm moved by, right? And then I like to think that over the years I've at least generated decent enough awareness for maybe what other people, you know, are moved by too. You know, it's worked so far. So I'm just going with it. But, you know, I'm looking for somebody that I think, you know, I was down at South by Southwest all last week, got home yesterday. And, you know, I just roam around and try and, you know, see people that were on my radar and see how they are live. You know, if it's something that, you know, maybe for the first time I bring them to town, it's going to be a little bit of a tougher challenge to get people out. But then once they see this, I'm going to have to do half the work, you know, for the second one. Those are the kind of people I'm looking for. I'm looking for people that I have to do the work the first time, and then they've kind of taken care of it for the second and third and fourth times, you know.
We're nearly out of time, but you're also working to build music performance venues in Davenport. Yeah. Tell me about the Raccoon Motel.
Yeah, it's going to be a really cool place. We're opening next Thursday, March 30th, having a big kind of grand opening weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're flying in a bunch of really cool people to play. And the idea behind the place is, you know, it's an intimate place. It's about a 90-cap room. And we're just going to have big people playing in a small pond. But the theme of the place is, what we're telling people is that we found this building. It's been locked up since 1973, and we unlocked it and swept the floor. And so this is, it's going to just have this old man grandpa bar vibe, you know, from the early 70s. And we're just really thrilled about it. It's going to be like nothing anyone's ever seen.
So you're making Davenport the epicenter of the music scene.
I'm sure trying.
Well, Sean Moeller, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Hey, thanks a lot, Charity.
Sean Moeller left Daytrotter, his music studio and website, last August, and he's working very hard to bring live music to Iowa and Davenport, the Quad Cities area, in many new ways. We're going to go out with a little bit of music from the Go Rounds. They are going to be playing in Davenport on Sunday, the 26th.
Wanna pick a little delicate flower.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Maybe going to a music festival, theater, bar, or even a club isn't for you. How about a house show? The new website Home Diddy is making it easier for people to host a house show, easier for musicians to find gigs. And with me right now is Katie Byers. She is the founder and CEO of Home Diddy from Des Moines. Hello, Katie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And just tell me about the idea behind this. It's kind of like a matchmaking service.
It is absolutely like a matchmaking service. In fact, the front part of the software is very similar to a dating website. There are profiles of musicians, profiles of hosts, and they can search for one another. You know, hosts can search for musicians based on genres. Musicians can search for hosts based on geographical searches and a certain...
Like, hey, we're going to be in Cincinnati or we're going to be in Des Moines.
Exactly. Who hosts in Des Moines, Iowa? And I can say right now in Des Moines, Iowa, we have 71 hosts signed up within the Des Moines metro area. So we're pretty excited about that. And we now have 100 total hosts signed up.
So, all right, that sounds a little daunting to me, hosting a house show. If you say you want to host a house show, what do you do? What do you have to do?
Yeah, well, and that's kind of the second piece of the software. What I wanted to, what I designed was specifically to help people with that, because I did find out by talking with people that it does seem really daunting putting on a house concert. So the system walks you through. There's a booking tool for hosts to use. It's very simple. It's automated. It's sent to the artist. The artist accepts or declines. Then all of the information from the booking tool, from the musician's profile, it pulls into a invitation that you can send to your friends. It creates a crowd fund to collect the money for the musician, and it pays the musician automatically after the show, so the host doesn't have to hassle with dealing with the money piece of it.
So the host isn't paying for this band?
Correct. The host is not paying for the band. The traditionally, house concerts were a pass the hat type situation. And so I decided to take it to a different level and use crowdfund to fund it. So it would be as if, let's say, a band would normally charge $600 for a private show. The host turns around and creates this crowdfund through the software and asks each guest to give a certain amount. You know, there are crowdfunds out there for all sorts of things. And so now you can crowdfund the cost of hiring a band for a private show in your home with your friends.
So you started out hosting house shows. How did you get involved in that in the first place?
I was asked, to be quite honest. Through a mutual friend, there were some musicians that were coming to town that were looking for an extra gig, and she sent me an email and said, hey, would you consider hosting a house concert? And I had heard of house concerts, but I really didn't know what that meant, and so I had to Google how to host a house concert, and I really just had no idea. And so we did our first show about 2 years ago, my husband and I, and I loved it so much.
Why? What was so special about it?
I found it very rewarding to help the artist. I could see how much it helped them financially. I could see how much my friends enjoyed the experience. The music just spoke to me on such a deeper level, having known the musician and then getting to hear the stories in between the songs about why they wrote the song or their life as a musician. And it really stirred my soul. It just really made me feel alive, and it was just a really beautiful experience.
So after that first experience, you were really hooked and you started hosting house shows a lot, right?
Yes, once a month. And so after the first one, I said, I am doing this once a month for as long as I can. And we have faithfully. In fact, a couple months we've done two shows.
Wow. So where did the idea for Home Diddy come from? I mean, obviously you really loved what you were doing, but it was working for you.
Right, right. Absolutely. Well, so what started happening was that I started to get just really bombarded with emails from artists and booking agents across the United States saying, hey, I hear you host house concerts. Can you host this musician? And I was getting all these amazing musicians that were coming through via email, but I couldn't host them all. You know, once a month or twice a month is about all I can do. So I started reaching out to my friends saying, hey, would you host this artist? And then that's when I found out when people would say, I have no idea how to do this. You have to teach me how to do this. So I've been doing this for a while. But then eventually I just began to feel like a broken record, just repeating myself all these instructions. So then I started thinking website. And then my real aha moment was when I started thinking in terms of a dating site so they could find each other, and then automating the booking, the invitation, and then the money piece and the crowdfund piece.
Do you have have a certain kind of space that you can offer up to qualify to be part of this?
Not at all. The only qualifier we have right now for space is that you have the capacity for 10 people in your space. There have been house concerts in bedrooms. There have been house concerts in very, very small spaces. And you'd be really surprised if you move out your coffee table and set up a few folding chairs. Most people should be able to get 10 people in their living space, somewhere in their living space, hopefully.
So this is a very intimate experience. Do the musicians get an opportunity to give you feedback and say, hey, this host is good, or I didn't like this experience, that kind of thing?
Yes, exactly. I did want a quality control piece, but I wasn't sure like a rating system would really take care of that. So after the show, both the host and the artist get an email from Home Diddy asking for to fill out a post-show survey. And it's three simple questions. You know, did they fulfill the booking agreement? And then, you know, hosts can put some positive tags on the artists. And the last piece is report back any questions or concerns.
All right. Well, I want to bring a musician into this conversation. Scott Cerny is on the line with us. He's a guitarist for the Cerny Brothers, which is a Nashville-based band, although they do have Midwestern roots, and they have played your house, right?
Absolutely. Right. That's yes.
Scott, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, no problem.
And you know what? Let's start with a little bit of music. Let's listen to a little bit of the Cerny Brothers with Sunrise. Thank you.
feel new by the mountains and the lake. I wanna climb them with you. Made a fool of myself. I'm so sorry, my dear. Close those books on the shelf. Never read them for the feed.
A little bit of Sunrise by the Cerny Brothers. Scott Cerny is with me on the line. And Scott, how did you get involved in playing house shows?
Well, we used to live in Los Angeles, and we did a couple of them with some friends in L.A., and one of them used to be a musician in L.A., and he was kind of bummed out about the music industry and, you know, how hard it was to play in the clubs and build a following. So he hosted a house concert at his house, and, you know, we had a great time, and his idea was that, you know, someone at the house concert might really like it and want to host one of their own. And so that actually did end up happening, and we ended up playing a second house concert, but then from there it kind of fizzled out. And, you know, I think he had, like, you know, the idea, but he wasn't as organized as Katie. He didn't have, like, the system. He wasn't thinking about all the different, you know, aspects of it. So it kind of – that was, like, two house concerts, and then we didn't do any for several years, I think. And then we moved to Nashville, and we were on a tour, and our agent was looking for shows in the Des Moines area. And she had heard about Katie hosting concerts in her home, and she was like, would you guys be open to do a fully acoustic house show? And me and my brother, you know, all of our songs essentially start at, like, acoustic guitar, a banjo at a very stripped-down level. So we were like, oh, that'd be great. And we played the show, and, you know, it was a great show, and there was a ton of people there. So it kind of, from there, we were talking to Katie and finding out she was starting this whole company. And we were like, well, you know, we're going to go out on the road again for about a month. And, you know, we'd love to partner with you and do some of these house shows. And, you know, we're raising money for our album. So it just kind of worked well for both of us, I think, at least.
That's an endorsement from Katie as well. Well, What is different about playing a house show as opposed to, I guess, a more traditional gig in a bar or a theater type setting?
Well, I think at our level, you know, we tour all across the country. We've played in almost every state, but we're constantly trying to build a following, and sometimes we're going into a city we've never been in before and trying to get people that have no idea about the band. They might not even know that there's a band playing that night. Trying to get them interested, you know, trying to get them to care. And so, you know, certain shows at music venues are better than others where people are more attentive and they're generally more seeking out music. And, you know, we have fans in different cities, but there are situations where you walk in and nobody knows about you. So you're spending most of the gig fighting for their attention, because people go to bars and they go to music venues for a lot of different reasons. You know, you might go to talk to women or guys, you know, or to watch the game on TV, or to just, you know, unwind after work. So the special thing about a house concert is that you don't necessarily have to fight for that attention. I mean, the people are there and they're quiet, and it's almost like bringing the music directly to the people, and there's no distraction. So as an artist, as long as you don't get, like, nervous or something, it's super rewarding, because, you know, you have their attention, and you know, hopefully you earn it throughout the night and you continue to have it. But, you know, it's just in some ways it's easier. You know, you're not competing against that loud, you know, sports bar type of environment.
Well, and Katie, let me ask you, I mean, when you bring a band into your home and you invite friends, do they necessarily know anything about the band?
No, they usually don't. They're sort of trusting my taste in music. But before the show, I always send out a video clip of the artist. I'll send a link to their website. So if they want to do their research before the show and just see if it's their taste or not, they certainly can do that. And the Home Diddy platform does all that also for hosts when they send out their invitation to their guests. But not necessarily. It's usually someone they haven't heard of, but we also do rotate in our local musicians, Iowa musicians. We've been fortunate enough to have Dave Solo, you know, many great local musicians too. So some of the local ones, yes, but the touring ones, no, they're not ones they would have heard of before. But I also wanted to say, to Scott's point, our house concerts are definitely listening concerts. And as my husband and all of my guests will tell you, before every show, I stand up and remind everyone that it's a listening concert and ask them to please silence their phones and ask them to save their conversation for intermission and after the show. So it's a very different feel. It's a very different vibe.
Where people are actually paying attention.
People are actually paying attention.
So, Scott, from your perspective, I mean, you've got a kind of a captive audience then. All eyes are on you. You just said something about as long as the musician doesn't get nervous. I mean, is this a different kind of attention? Is it actually a little more of a situation where you can get nervous because people are really focusing?
Sure. I think you also have to, you know, my brother's a lead singer and he does a lot of, you know, the talking to the audience. But I was reading in Bruce Springsteen's book and he talked about, as an artist, you have to coolly hold the audience in your hands and, in a sense, do it without them noticing that. And so, you know, it's just a different environment where if in between a song, you might finish a song, everyone claps, and then it's just, you could hear a pin drop in the room. So, you know, there's one way to kind of react to that silence in a more nerve-wracking way, and there's a way to just kind of, you know, talk about the next song. And for us, it's great because we just get, like Katie was saying too, the opportunity to talk about why we wrote this song. And, you know, as long as you get people's attention and they care about what you're doing, you know, they'll listen. And a lot of people will call us afterwards, like, I loved hearing about what this song was about. And, you know, it's almost like a special experience that at a louder music venue or a bar, we're just not going to get into, because, like I said, if you're spending most of the gig fighting for the attention and trying to get people to a place where they're, you know, listening, you're not going to spend, you know, 5 minutes talking about a song and what inspired it. So the people that are really interested in the music are not going to be able to hear those stories.
So let me ask you a personal question. I mean, how lucrative is this kind of concert? How much money can you make doing a house show?
You know, it greatly depends on how many people, because we've played house concerts with like maybe 15 or 16 people, and we've played some where I feel like it's like 65 people, you know, in some of the bigger houses. So, I mean, you can make, I don't know, about $1,000, maybe more. And that's, you know, being like a first time gig. It also depends, you know, you can sell a lot more merch at these things. And it varies, like I said, greatly. Like, you're not going to clear the same amount of money in each house. It sort of depends on, you know, how many people show up and, you know, what your interest is in that area or that group of friends. So, but I mean, in terms of, if you're playing on like a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night in a city that you do not have fans in, there's absolutely no competition. I mean, there's no way anyone's going to pay you as much as you would get as an artist playing at a house concert. That's a fact.
And speaking of Tuesday or Wednesday night, Katie, I mean, I've got kids. I've got a job. Tuesday, Wednesday night, I don't go out on school nights. So how does this work for people who have busy lives? Do you find that it's a really attractive alternative maybe to going to a concert?
I do. We do a lot of shows on Sunday nights, and we do Monday nights and Tuesday nights also. You know, the nice thing about the shows is they can start whenever you want them to start. If you want them to start at 6:30, then they can start at 6:30. And it's and you also, as a host, have control over the set time and length. You decide that in advance with the musician. So we usually do 2 45-minute sets. So we can usually have people out the door by 8 or 8:30 and tidy up a little bit, and we can still be in bed at a decent hour at 9 o'clock. So I actually think it works really well for off nights for musicians.
Well, and Scott, I know a lot of musicians talk about how difficult it is to make a living touring and to get that following. Do you see this as the future for a lot of musicians, playing a lot more of these small, intimate shows?
I do. I mean, I think if you're certain bands, like, you know, a punk rock band is never going to be able to do the acoustic guitar in the living room thing. But if you can do that and you can strip down your songs and make them, you know, appealing in that way, I think absolutely. And I don't think, you know, never playing in a music venue is the goal of, you know, Katie or anything. But even as she mentioned, there's kind of like an ancient history to
yeah,
this.
Yeah, Scott, we're going to have to go. But thank you so much, Scott Cerny of the Cerny Brothers. Katie Byers, founder and CEO of Home Diddy.